Chavav Amid Aleph, all the way at the bottom of the page. Second line from the end. Okay, this Gemara until the end of the Masecht is definitely easier than what we learned in the last parak. The Mishnah says, Kate, before there was a statement that after Yom Tif, they would purify all the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Because on Yom Tif, there were a lot of Kohanim, Amiratzim, who are Tomei. They touch things, they do, you know, so the Beis Din, the Kohanim, the Chachamim, purified everything after Yom Tif. So it says, Ketim Avin Natal Sazorim, because the Mishnah just said before that when Yom Tov came, they purified everything. So it says, Ketim Avin Natal Sazorim, how did they remove the vessels to purify the Beis HaMikdash? So it says, Matpilin Sakeim Shoyu B'Mikdash. They used to table the immerse in the mikvah all the Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'emrim lahem, and they were say to the Kohanim who were Amiratzim, Hizardo, be careful, to go b'shulchan, not to touch in the table. Now the table was the shulchan that had the showbread, the lechem upon him. And the Gemara is going to explain that they couldn't table. So they used to warn the Kohanim who were Amiratzim, don't touch the table, because if you make a tummy, we're going to have a problem to purify it. But all the other Kelim, they immersed in the mikveh. Then the Mishnah says, "Kol haKelim shoyu b'Migdash." All the Kelim that existed in the Beis HaMikdash, yashlam shniyim u'shlishim. They used to have doubles and triples replacement sets. Why? Shemnit marishenim. In case the first set became tamei, yaviu shniyim tachteim. They would use the second one until they would purify the first. So basically, they had doubles and triples of each Keli of the Beis HaMikdash, in case something became Tommy, they would be able to temporarily exchange it. Then it says, Kol HaKelim Shoyu B'Mikdash, all the Kelim that were in the Beis HaMikdash after Yom Tiv, Ta'unim, Tvila, had to be tabled in the mikveh, except Mizbeach Hazav and Mizbeach Nacheshis. Except the golden Mizbeach, there were two altars in the Beis HaMikdash. There was the inner Mizbeach, which was called Mizbeach HaZohav, that they brought the Keteiris on, the incense. The outer Mizbeach, which was called Mizbeach HaNecheshes, the copper Mizbeach, that was where the big Mizbeach that they brought all the Korbanis on. So the Mishnah says, every Keli in the Beis HaMikdash needed to be tabled, except these two Mizbeaches. Why? Mipnei Shem Kekark, because they are like earth, and the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Because they're like earth, the din is anything of earth doesn't need to be tabled. So therefore, if they had a din of earth, you don't have to table them. David Abeliezer, that's what Abeliezer says. Chachamim Eimrim, Chachamim say, you know why they don't need to be tabled, Mipnei Shei Mitzupim, because they're plated. As the Gemara will explain what that means. So what if they were plated? But there's two opinions, seemingly. There's two opinions why you didn't have to table all the kelim of the metun mizbeches, either because they're like earth or because they're plated. And we'll see in the Gemara later exactly what that means. You have to make sure you're in the Gemara Chagiga.
Chagiga? Okay.
Well, you're in Chagiga, but later, Chavav, Avin Beis.
It's going
to be 52.
Right around here.
Okay, but end it, no, the, that page, the, yeah. Six lines into the Gemara. In Bayu 26b1. Okay, so basically, the Mishnah said like this. After Yom Tov, they tabled all the Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. The Shulchan, as we learned in the Mishnah, the table that had the showbread, they couldn't table it. And we'll see why. So they told the Kohanim, don't touch it. Then you had the Mizbeach Hazav and the Mizbeach HaNecheshes, the two altars, the golden one and the copper one, they didn't have to table it after Yom Tov because it didn't become Tomei. Why? So the Mishnah said two reasons. Either because they're likened to ground and the earth can never become Tomei, or because they're plated. And we'll see what that means, why they didn't become Tomei. Okay, so now the Gemara asks a question from a Braisa. Our Mishnah said that they told the Kohanim, who were illiterates, don't touch the Shulchan. But the Mishnah only says, only the Shulchan don't touch. But Tanin Abraisa, we learned, Hizaru, that they warned the Kohanim who were illiterates, make sure you don't touch the Shulchan or the Menera. So the Gemara asks, why in the Braisa does it say Shulchan and Menera, not to touch? And in our Mishnah, it only says the Shulchan. So the Gemara answers, V'tana didan, my time litani Menera. Why doesn't our Tana, in our Mishnah, say Menorah? It just says Shulchan. And in the Braisa it says Shulchan and Menorah. So he says like this, because Shulchan ksiv beitamid. By the Shulchan, it says the word tamid, constant. And the Gemara learns out from that word tamid that you're never allowed to move the Shulchan from its place. If the Shulchan was on a place, and the Torah says the lechem aponim, the showbread, should always tamid be there, tamid means you're not allowed to move it. Because if you move it to table it, so then you moved it. And it's not continuous. Now, but menorah, but by the menorah, like Sibba Tomit, by the menorah doesn't say continuous. So what's the big problem? Because when did the candles burn on the menorah? At night. During the day, it didn't burn. They lit the menorah every night. So, and the menorah doesn't say it always has to be there. So the menorah was no problem. They picked it up and they tabled it in the mikveh. But the Shulchan, you can't move because the Torah says Tamid, it always has to be there. If it always has to be there, then how could you move it? So if you can't table it, they had to warn the Kayanim, who were illiterate, and Tamei, don't touch it. So now the question goes back to the Braisa. So why does the Braisa say Shulchan and Menorah? So Gemara says, V'idach, and the other opinion of the Braisa, why does he say that they warned the people not to touch the Shulchan either? I mean, the menorah also, I mean. So he says, because it says in the Pasuk, Kivin Iksiv, because the Pasuk says, Vesa Menera Nechach HaShulchan. The Torah in one Pasuk says, put the Menera opposite the Shulchan. So the fact that in the same Pasuk, the Torah mentions menorah and Shulchan together, so therefore, it's like it's the same word tamid. In other words, there's a concept in the Torah that we learned before called a hekish. What's a hekish? When the Torah likens in one pasuk two dinim, so we liken both together. If in the same pasuk the Torah says the word menorah and shulchan, so that opinion says we liken the menorah to the shulchan. If the shulchan couldn't be moved, then the menorah couldn't be moved. And if the menorah can't be moved, according to him, then you had to warn the Kohanim not to make a tummy, because you wouldn't be able to put it in the mikveh. So now the Gemara is going back, but our Tana says the menorah could be moved. So the question is, but in the same pasuk, it says menorah and shulchan together. So he says, v'idach, and the other opinion says, it's not to teach us that you can't move it. What is the Pasuk teaching us, likening the menorah to the Shulchan? The Torah just says, where to put it. In other words, the Torah says, yeah, you have a menorah, you have a Shulchan, where do you put it? So the Torah says, put the menorah opposite the Shulchan. But it doesn't mean to teach us that just like the Shulchan is not allowed to be moved out of its place, you can't move the menorah out of its place. So therefore, our Tana holds, the menorah could be moved. If the menorah is allowed to be moved, then you could bring it to the mikveh. So we didn't care if it got tamei, so they brought it to the mikveh. The shulchan is not allowed to be moved. If the shulchan is not allowed to be moved, you can't even carry it to the mikveh. So then what are you going to do? You have to tell the kohanim, don't make a tamei. What?
Is this word
lekavoa? Lekavoa lamoka means to establish its place. In other words, where does the menorah go? Because in the Beis Hamikdash, you had the menorah, the shulchan, and the mizbeach in the inner room. So they said, where do you put them? So it says, the menorah goes opposite the shulchan, and the menorah, you know, a different way. So, but it doesn't teach us that you can't move it.
But is Herish like Kal Vachomer that have to be transmitted?
Kal Vachomer doesn't. Gezer Shavah does.
Gezer Shavah, right.
Kal Vachomer you can make yourself. Yeah. Hekish, it does not have to be transmitted. No. The fact that the Torah puts them two together is there's an interesting question over here. Where's that thesis? They ask a question because that's later. Okay, so now the Gemara says, okay, so therefore we said like this. Why? The Gemara says like this. So the Gemara finished this thing, okay, with what, whether the Braisa says Menorah and the Shulchan, or just the Shulchan. The bottom line of it is as follows. Yom Tov time, because a lot of Kayanim came to the Beis HaMikdash, because like we learned before, all the Kayanim worked on Yom Tov. Like this, they had shifts. The Kayanim were divided by David and Shmuel, or Shmuel and David, Shmuel was older. Shmuel and Navi and David and Melech. All the Kayanim and Levium were divided into 24 shifts. Basically, 24 families. And each family worked a week. So each family worked 2 weeks a year. Right? Because it's 48. But there were Yom Tov time, which is Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuos, which is 3 weeks, basically. That's when all the Kohanim worked in the Beis HaMikdash. Because a lot of traffic. So, you know, everybody came to work in the Beis HaMikdash. A lot of korbanos, a lot of things going on. So then all the Kohanim worked. Amongst the Kohanim, believe it or not, there were a lot of Amaratzim, illiterates. And they were not careful in the laws of Tum and Tara. Okay? So now, the Mishnah basically said it then, that all the Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash after Yom Tov had to be mikvanized, whatever. They put into the mikvah. Why? Because there's an assumption that it became Tamei. The Shulchan, or the Menorah also according to the Braisa, because they couldn't be immersed. Why couldn't they be immersed? Because you can't move them from their place.
Very good.
Right, well, the Braisa says Menorah also not. But our Mishnah says just the Shulchan. But whether it's Shulchan or Menorah, but the bottom line is that the Shulchan couldn't be moved. If the Shulchan couldn't be moved, you had to tevel it. So we had to make sure that during Yom Tov, no Amaretz touched the table. Because if they touched it, what we're up to now, it became Tamei. You can't move it to tevel it, so you're stuck. Okay? But the Gemara's assumption up to now, this I'm saying this because of the next piece of Gemara. The Gemara's assumption, though, until now is that if the Amaretz did touch the table, it became Tamei. And therefore we couldn't table it, so therefore we had to make sure that they didn't touch it. But if they would touch it, it would become Tamei. So the Gemara is going to ask a question now. Why should the Shulchan become Tamei? The Shulchan could not become Tamei, even if a guy touched it. Why? Because the Gemara says, any permanent fixture cannot become Tamei. If the Shulchan couldn't be moved, it halachically was considered permanent.
What about the desert?
Oh, that's Taisa's question. 1 second. So Taisa, but in the Midbar they did carry it. Okay? But let's forget that for a second. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Shulchan wasn't moved. It was a permanent fixture. Granted, it wasn't nailed to the ground. But the fact that the halacha is you're not allowed to move it, made it a permanent fixture. And the halacha is, anything permanent cannot become Tamei. So the Gemara is going to ask, where the assumption in the Mishnah is, that if the Amaretz touched the Shulchan, it did become Tamei. And because he couldn't table it in the mikveh, because you're not allowed to move it from his place, you warned the guy not to touch it. So the Gemara says, but even if he touched it, it shouldn't become tummy. That's the Gemara's question now. For tape clay, the Gemara asks, why can't you just say a simple thing? The kli eitz asui lenachasu, it considered a permanent wooden vessel. And the din is, v'chol kli eitz ha'asu l'nachas, any permanent fixture of wood, le'metame doesn't become tame. So the Gemara's question is, why in the world can the shulchan ever become tame? It can't become tame. And the Gemara says, why not? What's the reason for this halacha? Dumi the sak be'inen. Because in the pasuk, if tumah, the Torah says like this, from any wooden vessel, any garment, any leather, or any sack. You know, sack. So the Gemara says, the Torah in one pasuk likens wood to sack. Just like something of a sack is movable. So the Torah teaches us what type of wood could become tamei. Wood which is similar to a sack, meaning movable. But if it's not movable, it's not tamei. Okay, so Gemara says, Masal sak metal to mali v'reikim, just like a sack. In normal use of a sack, it's moved whether it's empty or full. The same thing, avko metal to mali v'reikim. What could become tamei? Only something which is movable, like a sack. But because the shulchan is not movable, the way the Gemara is thinking now, so then the chedesh can't become tamei. Okay, so the Gemara's question is, why could the shulchan become tamei if an amaretz touches it? That you have to warn them not to touch it if it can't become tamei anyway. Because it's permanent. Any permanent wood cannot become tamei. So the Gemara answers, Hainami metaltol Rmali v'reikimu. The Gemara answers, the table is made to move. What does it mean the table is made to move? He says, K'dresh lakish l'kresh lakish says. The Amir Resh Lakish says, My dechsiv, why does the Torah say, Al ha-shulchan ha-tahor, the Torah says an expression, you put the bread and the pure table. Sure. Now, if the Torah says a pure table, that means the table could become tummy. Because if it can't become tummy, you can't call it pure. Right? Mechlal, so we see from there that it's shahu tummy. Right? So Rish Lakish said, but vamai, but Rish Lakish and himself asks, Elekli ha'os eitos ilanachos uveinu mekabel tummy. Lucheira, Rish Lakish asks, he's discussing to himself, so to speak. He says, why does the Torah say on the pure table? If the Torah says on the pure table, it implies that the table could become tummy. Aye, it's not movable, and anything not movable can't become tummy. So he says, Al Malamed, it teaches us that it was moved. Why? In Malamed, it teaches us, Rish Lakish says, Shemagbi and Naisei, they used to lift the table. And they would show the people that came to the Beis HaMikdash the showbread on the table. Mm. And what did they do? And they would tell to the people that came to the Beis HaMikdash, to the tourists, you see how precious you are before God, that taking off the bread was like putting it on, putting on the bread. Meaning like this. The showbread was changed every Shabbos. It was there for a whole week. And in fact, it's interesting, when the shifts left and came, so they divided the showbread between the shift that left and the shift that came. Okay? Now on Shabbos, they changed the lechem upon them. It's in English called the showbread. And as the Gemara is going to say now, there was a big miracle with the showbread. They baked it, put it on the table Shabbos, and next Shabbos, it was there for a whole week. When they took it off a week later, it was hot and fresh as if it was just baked.
That's a good bread.
So they actually saw steam coming up from the bread. So even though it not only didn't get moldy, it was hot and fresh like it was. So the Reish Lakish says, what did they do? When people came to the Beis HaMikdash, they wanted to impress the Jews with God's love of the Yidden. So they would pick up their Shulchan, and they say to the people, you see the bread? You see this? This is the love of God, that the bread is fresh as it was when we put it on a week ago. The Amir Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi said, Neis Godol Nasa B'lechem Aponim. There was a great miracle that took place with the showbread. That what? Kisiduri, when they took it off, kach, I mean, the same way they put it on, meaning warm and hot and fresh, kach siluka, that was the day of, the same way of his removal. So because it says in the Pasuk, losam lechem chaim, that the place had bread, b'yayim hilacha, the day it was taken off. So there's mamish a miracle. So what do you see from this Gemara? The Gemara's question is, how could the Shulchan become Tamei if it's not movable? If it's not movable, it can't become Tamei. Right? So why do you have to tell the Amiratzim not to touch it if it can't become Tamei anyway? So Gemara asks, it could become Tamei. Because Reish Lakish said they did move it. Why did they move it? To show the Jews the miracle of the bread.
Isn't that breaking a halacha?
But that could be an exception based on Mishnah.
Huh?
Yeah,
no, but we're talking about the Shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash.
How could they move it if they were told not to?
The Tamid is on the bread being on the Shulchan, not the Shulchan.
Yeah, but the Gemara learned that before, that because you're not allowed to move it either.
So then why are they move it if they're not allowed to move it?
Huh?
How could they move it if they're not allowed to move it? Even to show.
Here. See, one opinion... Here, they would lift the table and without taking it outside, would display it to all those standing in the courtyard. According to other versions of Rashi, they actually carried it out. But obviously then it was a problem, then how were they allowed to move it?
If they didn't place it down somewhere.
It could be if they didn't put it down anywhere else. There could be.
So tables in general can become tamei because
they're the what?
Other tables, regular tables.
Yeah, sure.
As long as they're movable, then
anything movable could become tamei. The Gemara's original thing is that the question is, what was the Gemara's question? L'chei, you're not allowed to move the shulchan. So Gemara says you are allowed to move it because they did move it, not for anything else though. Not for anything else. Taisus over here asked what you asked. L'cheiru, when the Jews carried in the desert, they carried the Shulchan for 40 years. So Taisus says, we're speaking about the Beis HaMikdash one.
Probably no Amoratzim during the
Mikdash. That could be it. Could be they, then they were able to table it. Okay, then the Gemara asks a different question. The Tepek lay, why don't we say a different reason why the Shulchan could become Tamei, okay, because of its tzipui, it was plated. The Shulchan was made out of wood, but it was plated with gold. Okay, now, wood that's not movable cannot become Tamei. But metal that's movable, even not movable, could become Tamei. So the Gemara asks, there's another reason why the Shulchan could become Tamei. Because it was plated with gold. So then it's really gold, not wood. Because the gold became Tamei. Forget the wood, but the gold would become Tamei. Because the Pasuk says, wood or sack. So we like wood to sack. Just like sack is movable, wood has to be movable to become tummy. But metal, even if it's not movable, it could become tummy.
One of the answers for the Mizbeach that it was plated?
But the Gemara is going to explain this soon. about this point. One second. So Gemara asks, the tape clay, why don't we say the reason of the Shulchan becoming Tamei is Mishum Tzipud, because it's plated with gold. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, a Shulchan va'dulfaki, a wooden table or a wooden chair, shenifchasu, that became smaller, or shechipon b'shayish, or that became covered with marble, v'shayib b'manochas cases, and they still left, even though it was plated, but they didn't plate it, or they had still room for putting the cups. So it says, tamei, they can still be tamei. Meaning like this. The Gemara says, the Mishnah over there says, any table, not only the Shulchan and the Beis HaMikdash, any table. And dulfki is a chair, but Rashi explains, it was a folding chair that was used to eat on. They had a folding chair that like uses a little table. So now the din is like this. If the reduction of the table is complete, okay, that you cannot put anything on the table anymore, then it's like a broken vessel. It's not made for its original use, and anything which is a broken keli cannot become tummy. Okay, only a keli could become tummy. Something that's not a keli cannot become tummy. Now, what's the definition of a keli? Something that was still usable for the original use that it was used. Even though it's like a quarter of the size. But if it's still usable in the original usage, then it's a keli. So the Mishnah says like this, a table that became smaller, but there's still enough room to put on goblets like before, it's tamei. Or if they plated it with marble, now there's another din, marble stone can never become tamei. So if they plated the whole thing with stone, then the thing can't become tamei anymore. What happens though if they plated the whole thing with stone, but they left over, unplated, room for some cups? So then the wood becomes tamei. Either the Mishnah is saying a few cases. You have a table that's wood. So technically the table is could become tamei. What happens if the table reduced, but there's still room to put cups? It's still considered a table, and therefore it becomes tamei. If it was reduced below that, it cannot become tamei. It's not a keli anymore. Or, what happens, they took a wooden table and they plated it with marble, stone, which is not susceptible to become tamei anymore. So the table's not tamei. What happens if they plated it, but they left over in the wood, unplated, places for cups? So then it becomes tamei. That's what the first opinion says. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mekayim anochas chatichas. It's not enough to have place for the cups. You also need place for pieces of bread or meat. In other words, the argument is just how much wood space do you need left? Rabbi Yehuda says, the first opinion says, for cups. Rabbi Yehuda says, not only for cups, but for meat and bread also. What do you see from that whole Megillah? Now, any vessel you see from there is defined by its plating. Because if the wood table is plated with marble, the Mishnah says it doesn't become tamei. Aye, it's wood. What do you see from there? You don't go by what the keli is made out of. You go by what it's plated with. And if the plating is not tamei, then the table doesn't become tamei. Which the opposite is also then obvious. If you have a non-tamei-dika table that's plated with metal, so then that should become tamei. okay, even if it's not movable. So the Gemara is asking a very simple question. It's a very simple question. Again, going back to the concept of warning the Kayanim not to touch the table because they're going to make a tummy. So the Gemara asked the question, but it can't become tummy, it's not movable. Right? So the Gemara answered, it is movable. You know, they used to pick it up to show everybody. But the Gemara asked now, but 1 minute. It could become tummy for a different reason. Because it's plated with gold. So even though permanent wood doesn't become tameh, but permanent metal keli does become tameh. And we see from this Mishnah that a vessel is defined by its plating, not what it's made out of. So if the shulchan is made out of wood, even if it's not movable, and wood which is not movable doesn't become tameh, but wood is plated, and the plating is gold, and gold does become tummy. So therefore, why don't you ask a different answer? Simply, because it could become tummy. Because of the plating. Because the vessel goes by its plating. And therefore, if you have a wooden keli that's plated with stone, it can never become tummy. Because the plating is what the vessel is, and a stone vessel cannot become tummy.
So it's obvious the shulchan was tummy.
Then it could become tummy, of course, because it's plated with gold. So the Gemara answers, maybe not all plating is like that. Meaning like this. It depends the material. No, the opposite. A junky table that's plated with marble is marble. But maybe if you have expensive shittim wood, maybe it retains its wood even if it's plated.
Sounds
because actually
like
shittim was very like good wood.
Sounds like the argument of the breadcrumbs. As an osur hamotzi.
No, so he says v'chitim, and maybe you want to say shani atzi shitim. That shitim wood is different. The chashiv, it's so valuable. V'lei butler, and therefore it's not bottled to the plating. So then it wouldn't become tummy because then it keeps the status of wood, and it's not movable, so it doesn't become tummy. So he says that's still a problem. Why? Hey, nichlamat the Reish Lakish. That's only good according to Reish Lakish. The Amar Reish Lakish says, Leishanu, this din doesn't apply. Only Bechlei Achsilgin Aboymen Dinesayam. Only Achsilgis wood, which is cheap. So then, the plating rules. Aval Bechlei Mismim. But expensive Mismin wood, which was like very expensive wood, lay bottle, it doesn't become bottled to the plating, shapi, that makes sense. But Rabbi Yechanan says there's no difference. Afilu beklei mismin, even with expensive wood, nami bottle, they also become bottled to the plating, ma'ika lememe, what are you going to say to that? In other words, like this, you might ask the question, maybe the wood is not bottled to the plating because it's expensive wood. So Gemara says that would only be good according to the Shlokish, because the Shlokish says, Take, if it's expensive wood, it doesn't become inferior to the plating. But if it's expensive wood, it does not become bottled. But Rabbi Yechanan, he says it doesn't matter if it's expensive or not. Whatever the plating is, that's what the keli is. So then the question is, what could you say? And then the Gemara continues even more. V'chitim, if you want to say, it depends what type of plating. Permanent plating or temporary plating?
What options?
No, because there's two types of plating. One is that you like nail anchored. There's a plating that you anchor the plating to the wood. And there's another type of plating, you just make a mold of gold and you put it on top. So it makes more sense that if it's anchored, then the mamish connected, then the wood should become bottled to the gold. But if it's not anchored, why should the wood become bottled to the gold? The wood is the wood and the gold is the gold. It's like two separate kelim. So I can give you an example. The Aron. Okay? The Aron, Rashi explains in Chumash, was three boxes. The Aron was a box. Where they put the luchas and everything. Yeah? It was actually a box. So Rashi says in Chumash, based on the Psukim, it wasn't one box, it was three boxes. There was an outer box of gold. There was an inner box of wood. And another inner box of gold. So it was a wooden box with gold inside and outside. And then they put a thin strip of gold, you know, where the wood would be sticking up to cover the wood. But over there were three distinct boxes. It wasn't anchored to one another. It was three distinct boxes. And the same thing Gemara says with the Shulchan. The Shulchan was wood, plated with gold, but it wasn't anchored to the wood. It was like just covering the wood. So he said, Chitim, if you want to say that there's a difference between Tzipi Eimed and Kambet Tzipi She'ena Eimed, meaning one case is when it's anchored, and then in our case is where it's not anchored, meaning if it's not anchored, it still keeps its identity. It still keeps its identity. But it can't be because boy, minei shlokish min Rabbi Yechanan, because the shlokish asked a question from Rabbi Yechanan, betzipi eimed, a betzipi she'en eimed. In the case of the plating, is there a difference if it's anchored or not? Or like he says, b'chayfe es levizbazav, a she'en chayfe es levizbazav. What happens if it only covers the rim, or even if it doesn't cover the rim? What's the din of plating? And the Amalei Rabbi Yechanan answered him, Leishna, it doesn't matter if it's Sipri Eimed, if it's permanent. It doesn't matter if it's not permanent. It doesn't matter if it covers the rim. Veleishna, Be'ena Chefes Levizva, doesn't cover the rim. It's all the same thing. What do you see from there? That under any circumstance, the Keli is bottled to the plating. Okay? So the question is, why can't we say a simple reason why the Shulchan becomes Tamei? Who cares if it's permanent? It doesn't matter if it's permanent, because only wood matters if it's permanent or not. But if it's gold, there's no difference if it's permanent or not. So the question is, why can't you just say simply, it's Tamei because of that? It's Tamei because of the plating. And therefore, you had to warn the Amiratzim, don't touch the Shulchan.
The question is, why did they ask the first question?
Right, why couldn't they answer right from the beginning? When they asked the question, how could the Shulchan become Tamei? You're not moving it. And something not movable, wood, not movable, does not become Tamei. Right? So the Gemara answered, yeah, they picked it up. Why didn't the Gemara answer a simple answer? The Gemara is asking. Because it's plated with gold, and the keli is plated, is bottled to the plating, and if the gold becomes tamei, so does the wood. And because of that, it's logical why they had to tell the Amiratzim, don't touch it. So why did the Gemara have to answer, so to speak, a funny answer that they picked it up to show everybody, and that's why it's movable. Who cares if it's movable or not? Say a simple answer. It's plated, davia, so to speak. It's plated. If it's plated, it's gold. It's not wood. And gold becomes tamei. And therefore, they have to tell the Amiratzim, don't touch it. So Gemara says, no, the Shulchan would be different. Lashani Shulchan, the Shulchan is different. Why? The Rachamanya Kada Eitz. Because even though it's plated, the Torah calls it wood. That means even if it's plated, but the Shulchan is special, for whatever reason, the Torah calls it wood. What is the Torah teaching us? that even if it's plated, it's not bottled to the plating, it's still wood.
Only for Shulchan.
Only for the Shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash. And he said, where do we see it? Because he says, Dechthiv, it says in the Pasuk as follows, HaMizbeach eitz, the Mizbeach is wood, Shloish Amis Gavaya, 3 Amis high, V'arkish 2 Amis, and its width is 2 Amis, V'bekseisivlei, and its corners, V'arkei, and its width, are 8 walls of wood, V'yidabit Eli, and then the next Pasuk says, he said, the angel said to me, this is what the Pasuk says, Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem, this is the table which is before Hashem. And the Gemara is going to discuss that the whole Pasuk is speaking about the Shulchan.
It's not mentioning specifically, it's that it's made out of wood.
But yeah, but at the beginning he says, Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. Right? And what does he call this? Mizbeach Eitz. In fact, the Gemara is going to right away ask, Pasach b'mizbeach v'siim b'sholchan. The Pasuk starts with the Mizbeach and ends with a Sholchan. I mean, why is the Torah saying the same thing? We're talking about Mizbeach and Sholchan. It's either both Mizbeach or both Sholchan. So the Gemara is a very famous Gemara. Rabbi Yechon v'Rish Lakish, both of them say, Bisman shebeis hamikdash kayam, when the Beis HaMikdash was existing, Mizbeach mechaper al Adam, the Mizbeach would forgive the sins of a person. Right? Because he's korbanos. Achshav, now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, Shulchanis shel Adam mechaper olav, your table forgives you. You know the famous concept, the Shulchan, the table like a Mizbeach? Okay, this is Gemara. That's this Gemara. The Gemara says, what do you mean a Shulchan is a Mizbeach? You know, you have salt on the table. Why do you have salt on the table? Because the Mizbeach always had salt. Every korban had to bring salt. So the Shulchan is like a Mizbeach, so you have salt. That's the reason we have salt on the table. Should be likened to the Mizbeach. What's the connection between my dining room table and the Mizbeach? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechon and Shlokish say, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach, the Korbanos, forgave the people for their sins. Now that we don't, the Mizbeach is what and the Shulchan forgives. So Rashi says, how? When you have Nachnosis Orchim. Rashi says, Achnosis Orchim. Because it says, it's like, you know, great is the mitzvah of providing food. So therefore, the Gemara's question was, why does the Pasuk start with Mizbeach and end with Shulchan? So Gemara says, because the Shulchan is the same thing like the Mizbeach. Mizbeach forgives, Shulchan forgives. Mm-hmm. What do you see from there, though? That the Pasuk is calling the Shulchan Eitz. So over there, the Gemara says, by the Shulchan, it's not bottled to the plating. Every other keli in the world is bottled to the plating. If the keli is wood, and the plating is marble, it will not become tummy. Because marble, stone, it cannot become tummy. If it's wood plated with gold, it would become tummy, it's gold. But the Shulchan is different, because the Torah calls it explicitly wood. So therefore, if it's not movable wood, even though it's plated, but if it's not movable, it will not become tummy. So therefore, the Gemara had to answer, why can the Shulchan become tummy if it's not movable? So Shlokir said, because they do move it. They pick it up to show everybody the showbread. Why don't we answer it becomes tummy because of the plating? So the bottom line is, because the Gemara says, here, it's not bottled to the plating. But every other keli, the Mishnah says that the word before from Kalim, every other keli goes by the plating, not by what the material of the keli is. And the Gemara said, even, it doesn't matter if it's anchored plating, non-anchored plating, it doesn't matter. Any plating, that's what the keli is.
So the Aron cannot become tummy. The Aron which is inside.
Why not? First of all, nobody went in there. I mean, it was in the Kedesh HaGadoshim, nobody, The Kohen Gadol, when he went in, if he was tummy, he was not allowed to go in. So the Arim B'chal wasn't applicable to this whole thing. Taisus said before, I mean, I did mention, Taisus said before, the only fear of the menorah, the shulchan, and the mizbeach, the inner mizbeach, was only Kohenim, because Yisraelim were not allowed to walk there anyway. So we're only talking about Kohenim or Amoritz. So basically, the Gemara is explaining what the Mishnah said. So all the Kohenim and the Beis HaMikdash had to go to the mikveh, because everybody touched it. The Shulchan, they warned them not to touch, because it could become tummy, and they couldn't bring it to the mikveh. Okay? Well, how could it become tummy if it's not movable? So I said, because it is movable. They did pick it up. Why'd you say because it's plating? So much as plating is by the shulchan doesn't do anything.
So I don't understand. Is that they can pick it up to show to the people? They can't just pick it up to put in the mikveh?
Obviously not. Like you mentioned.
They put it down, right?
They just, in the same room, they picked it up, but they didn't. Even though one opinion says they actually took it to the heichal. But again, they probably couldn't take it, though, to the mikveh, which was in a different place. The mikveh was in a different place.
Dunk the bread.
No, it wasn't. But I mean, according to Rish Lakish's answer. Picked it up with the showbread. Oh, you know what? That's an interesting concept. The showbread always had to be on the table. Now you're supposed to table it. You'd have to take off the bread. And that you can't do because the bread has to always be on the table.
Well, that's another point.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to table the bread.
Listen, if a miracle is going to happen to the bread where it's going to remain fresh, and as a Dunkin', it's probably remain dry also.
That I don't know.
So Tamid refers to the bread, not to the shulchan.
Tamid, right. According to the outcome of the Gemara, it refers to the, it refers to the bread on the table. Gemara learned that the word tamid, in that sense, see, Taisa says also before that by menorah, it also says the word tamid. But the difference is, over there means tamid every night. And here it means 24/7 constantly. Because you can say, he's always there at night. That's how the menorah was. In fact, the Mefarshim asked, how does it say Tamid? Rashi and Chumash asked the question really, how does it say by the menorah, Ner Tamid? No. By the menorah it says, La'alis Ner Tamid. It had to be a permanent light. But it wasn't permanent, it was only during the day. I mean, at night. Taisus brings down, there's an opinion that says it burned during the day also. Because the Ner Maravi, it said miraculously burnt until the next night. They extinguished it and lit the other new candles from it. So if that's the case, then that fire was also tamid. Okay, so now the Gemara says, we're getting close to the end. Now, it says in the Mishnah that all the kelim became tamei, except the Mizbech HaZov and the Mizbech HaNechoshes. The copper Mizbech that they brought the Korbanos on, and the golden Mizbech that they brought the incense on. And the Chachamim said, why? Because they're plated.
What was the question again?
Oh, right, I'm sorry. You're right. I jumped in. We go back. Kol HaKem Shebemigdash Yashlem Shniyim. It says, all the Kelim, the Beis HaMikdash, had doubles, you know, and so on. And then, that's not what it means. The Gemara is going further in the Mishnah. That everything, the two Mizbeches didn't become Tamei, because they were like Karka. The first opinion. So the Gemara says, Mizbech and Necheshes, how do we know the golden Mizbech was dirt, earth, and the copper Mizbech was earth? So it says like this, Mizbech and Necheshes, the copper Mizbech, meaning the bitten Mizbech, was called earth, because the Torah says, Mizbech Adametasali. The Torah says, you should put the Mizbech of earth, Adama. And that for sure refers to the Mizbech of Kabbanis, because the Torah speaks about putting Kabbanis on it. So yet the Torah calls it earth, even though it's made out of copper. And Mizbech Azov, how do we know the Mizbech Azov is called earth? Because it says, HaMeneira VaMizbeches. The Meneira and the altars. So the fact that the Torah likens both altars, both Mizbeches, to each other, it teaches us, if the Mizbech Necheshes was earth, then the Mizbech Azov is also earth. So therefore they don't become Tamei. Okay, that's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Chachamim say, because they're plated. So the Gemara asks a very simple question. If anything, plating makes them Tamei. We just got through saying plating makes it Tamei. They're plated with gold. Not only the Shulchan that, but this is plated with gold. So the Gemara asks, the Chachamim say, you know why it doesn't become Tamei? Because they're plated. The Gemara says, Adarabba, kiven the Mitzupin Nimnu, because they are plated, Mitama, that's why they should become Tamei, because they were plated with gold. So the Gemara says, Ema, no, say it like this, not that the Chachamim say they're not Tamei. It says like this, the Chachamim hold the Mizbeches did become Tamei. Not like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer held the Mizbech did not become Tamei because they were earth. The Chachamim say, no, they are Tamei because they're plated. And what do we see? That you go by the plating, not by what it's made of, like we learned before. So the Chachamim hold it does become Tamei.
Then we can ask the same question, was it attached or was it disattached? Is the plating attached?
No, but the Gemara said before there's no difference.
It doesn't make a difference?
There's no difference.
Ah, so either way it's...
Right, let's finish this. Another answer is, Rabbanan speak to Rabbi Eliezer. And they say to him like this, my daitach, what do you think? Mishim de mitzupin, that because they're plated, so mifta batu tzipuin gabay, then they should become batul. No, the Chacham say the plating should become bottled to the earth.
I thought we just answered that.
No, in other words, like this. According to this, the Chacham and Rabbi Eliezer are not arguing. Chacham is saying to Rabbi Eliezer, what's your reason? Because they're plated. But it doesn't matter, because they're plated, they're still bottled to the earth. Not the earth is bottled to the plating. It's like the Shulchan. Because the Torah calls them Adama, they're not bottled to the plating, the plating is bottled to them. Okay, that's the next, well...